T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some details on the NBA lottery. That's the part of the restart that certainly intrigues the Knicks fans. We'll get to that in a little bit. Joining us right now, hopefully he's going to be positive, and that would be John Heyman. John, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Evan? When am I not positive? I try to be upbeat whenever possible.
No, I know. I noticed, John. I actually noticed on Twitter with all the baseball guys, the ones that are clued in, and I definitely include you in that list. My list of clued in baseball guys, and I'm probably going to forget somebody, but John Heyman, Joel Sherman, Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan, Evan Drellick, and that's pretty much the field of A. These guys are locked in. You seem to be, at least this morning, the most optimistic that all of this baseball mess is going to work out. Do you feel that way right now at 5:04 Eastern time on Thursday, June 4th? Are you still optimistic?
I'm optimistic that they're going to play. Workout is fair to say. I mean, the one thing is it feels that if they don't work out a deal that Commissioner Manfred and at the MLB people think they can impose a season of any length, which would be a shorter than 82-game length. So I think we're going to have baseball. That's the way it feels to me. Whether they actually are able to come to an agreement and do a deal, I'm not so sure about that. And they're certainly not going to have a deal that everyone's going to be happy with. Everyone's going to be unhappy with the deal if they do a deal. But well, I still think there's room to do a deal, room to negotiate. They obviously are off to a very slow start. We're already past the soft deadline, but I still feel like it's in everyone's best interest to get on board and get a deal done rather than have a season mandated. But if they have a season mandated, look, I can live with it. I just hope it's as fair as it can be for everybody.
Well, if they go with that, if that's the end game where a commissioner says, all right, we agreed to it, we agreed to prorated salaries, so we're going to mandate it 50 games, will the players say, well, hold on a second, our agreement also said we're going to try to play as many games as possible, and the only reason we're playing fewer games is because of money. So would the players agree to the, quote, mandated season?
Yeah, to me, if it's mandated, that doesn't mean that they have to agree to it. That seems to be the way MLB reads this. Now, they've had disagreements about this before. I think the players' side felt that they were getting prorated no matter what. And my reading of it, I would say, it was a little more murky than that. It wasn't clear that they were getting prorated no matter what, because the beginning of the deal contemplates fans in the stands and also talks about economic feasibility. Now, you can debate economically feasible to whom. You know, maybe the players would say the owners should be economically feasible. They're all billionaires, so what, they're going to take a bit of a loss. So I don't know. There's a little bit too much gray area in that market. They wanted to get an agreement done, and I think the players' side did a good job with it. They got the service time. It is mentioned in there that it's prorated, but on the other hand, it does seem like, from what I've seen so far, I haven't heard any denials from the player side, that the owner side can mandate a shorter season.
The players will go for it. I mean,
if it's mandated, they don't have to. It doesn't matter what they go for.
Yeah, but wait, John. They can argue the same thing the owners have argued. The owners leaked that agreement to say, see, we said we're going to have to talk about numbers if there are no fans in the stands. Can't the players point to good faith negotiations and say this wasn't good faith and kind of fight about that? Because they may have a point that this is not really good faith.
It's possible. There is a mention in there to play as many games as possible. So that is possible. They could talk about, you know, health considerations at that point. Though they have said they want to play 114 games, so it would be difficult to say that you can't play 50 games, although maybe at 50 games there'll be a lot of players saying, you know what, I don't really feel good about it. You know, they haven't really decided about the players who have pre-existing conditions yet and whether they can opt out and get their full pay. I think that's logical that they would be able to, but and the players' proposal, it was also the spouses would get it. I don't know. That hasn't been really hashed out yet. There are a lot of things that aren't hashed out. Basically, all that's been agreed upon so far that we believe is the universal DH, the expanded playoffs, although the players could decide no expanded playoffs if they're mandated to play the 50 games at the prorated. So that may go, even though it's sort of, for now, in both the owners' and the players' proposals. And, you know, I mean, there aren't many spots of agreement, but those are at least two. And that the health protocols, well, they are not completely done. They're pretty close on that.
Why would the owners even negotiate? Couldn't the owners say, you know what, 50 games, we're only paying you 30% of your salaries, we get a baseball season, nobody can yell at us? Why even negotiate with the players?
Well, they want to get the game is about the players, and they want to get the deal done where the players are not forced to do something that they really don't want to do. They want to be able to try to negotiate. But right now, I haven't heard yet that they've restarted talks. The owner's proposal was met with a lot of upset from the players, and then the players made a proposal that actually moved in the other direction, wanting 114 games instead of 82 games. So, you know, I just don't think they prefer to mandate it. But if it comes down to mandating or canceling, I think they'll mandate the season. And that's why I think they have that fail-safe that the season is going to go on one way or the other. I do think they still will get a deal. The history is Rob Manfred's been there for a quarter century. They've always been able to get a deal done. I know this is a rough one. Neither side is really on the same page at this moment, but I think there are ways to get it done. I personally think 50 games it doesn't bother me as much in terms of legitimacy of the season. I know that it will bother some, but I feel like if you have three rounds of playoffs, you have to go through that gauntlet. We're still going to get a pretty good winner. Nobody talks about 1981. They didn't play 162 games, but, of course, it was a lot more than 50. The thing that I don't love about it is the players would have to go through a second spring training, play even more in the postseason, and they still only get 31% of their pay. They're the ones taking the risk to go out there. I mean, I think we think it's probably going to be okay. These guys are healthy, at least the ones who are going to agree to play, and they'll be able to get through it, even if some of them test positive. But to me, that doesn't seem quite right. It seems like they'd have to do something better than that. Whether if it's to mandate 60 games or 65 games, that's a little closer to me to being fair. You know, or if they can play 82 games with a sliding scale, not as drastic as the one the owners proposed, but negotiate on that. And the owners they are willing to negotiate off of that because the sliding scale had a 40%.
So why aren't they?
I think that was too steep.
So why aren't they negotiating? If they're willing to negotiate,
well, at this point, the position of the players is even if it isn't guaranteed in that March 26th deal that they get prorated, they feel, considering they're the ones going out there and taking the risk, that they should get prorated no matter what. So at this point, the players are not negotiating off of that sliding scale because they do believe they should get prorated pay, even if it isn't completely guaranteed, locked down 100% in that agreement. And, I mean, there's a point to be made for that, but at this point, I think it would be a disaster if they didn't play. They have to play, and the owners have that extra hammer to mandate the season, it does appear. So I think it would behoove the players to talk about it and figure it out and get close to what you want to get without getting exactly what you want.
Well, I got to tell you, in a negotiation, someone makes an offer, the other side's offended, the other side makes an offer, the other side's offended, and you keep going. So based on the track right now, the owners should be the ones with an offer. The owners should be the ones with something.
The players' counteroffer moved away from where we thought they were. We thought they would do the 82 games prorated, and they went for 114 games prorated. So they moved in the wrong direction. So by that standard, MLB can make a counteroffer, but are they going to, moving in the wrong direction would not help things, right? So it's difficult to negotiate with somebody who really didn't counter your offer. They made their own offer, which was higher than was anticipated. And the 114.
I don't know if it was higher. I think it was, hey, we're going on the same basis of prorated. We want to play more baseball games. And who wouldn't want that? I mean,
well,
114 games would be great.
They lose money per regular season game. So they're going to lose more money if it's 114 games than the 82 games. And they've said that. Now, there's a question whether they've provided, and they have provided documentation, if they've provided enough documentation to prove that. If you recall, there was a story that came out about a month ago. They lose $640,000 per game. The players contend that it doesn't include the RSNs and a lot of other things, and they don't really believe that the owners lose the money, and they think the owners really would be happy playing more games. The reason I don't think they should play more games, and I'm convinced of this, even though it appears the NFL and NCAA will be playing into November at this point, provisionally, anyway, they believe that there's a possibility of the second wave, and they need to get the playoffs in. The playoffs are important for everybody,
yes,
and they want to be done by November 1st. So to get 114 games is going to be tough. Now, could they do more than 82? I think so. You could expand the rosters and play doubleheaders every 5 days or something like that, or every 4 days, and get up to 100 games and still get done by November 10th. So that is, you know, there are a lot of different creative possibilities, and as I said, MLB has been very good about getting deals done over the last quarter century. If they don't get this done, it's a disaster for everybody, the commissioner, the owners, the players, the fans. They have to get it done, and that's one of the couple reasons why I think it's going to get done.
It'll damage them in a way that I think will make 1994-95 look somewhat tame. That's how bad I think it would be if they don't play any baseball.
Yeah, we thought baseball was going to lead the way back, and the other sports have got plans now. But now it was easier for the NBA and the NHL because they played the bulk of their season, and their money wasn't the issue. Now,
well, it was easier from that standpoint, but I also think they have a better relationship. I just think there's a better relationship between the commissioner, the owners, and the players in the NBA than there is in Major League Baseball, that this toxic relationship contributed to.
Right. Well, less of the negotiation comes out for whatever reason. I'll say that. But I do think that the whole thing here is really hinged on the fact that the timing of it was such that the players in the NHL and the NBA
I agree, that's
got
a part
paid.
Of it.
And MLB is so far, the players went through almost most of the spring training and have gotten nothing other than someone who had a good contract like Betances, who had a bonus or something like that. There's like two or three guys like that. So I think the timing of it is really what's hurt it more than
so
the relationship. Well, the relationship is not great at the moment.
No, absolutely. So they can still lead the way back in terms of being the first game played, because the NBA is looking at July 31st, the NHL is looking at August, and we've always heard about baseball the 4th of July. Is that realistic right now, considering that's a month from today? 1 month from today is the 4th of July, and these sides are not close to a deal.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on it, only because they want to start the spring on June 10th, and we're not quite to June 10th. It's nice to give them 10 days lead time, but I think the players are chomping at the bit, ready to get out there and go play, and they can go quickly. And if we start June 10th or 11th or 12th or 13th, we still can probably start on July 4th. I mean, it's certainly, in any case, it's not optimal. The pitchers are not going to be throwing six or seven innings. They're going to be throwing three or four innings. So, you know, they got the roster of 30, the taxi squad. They've got all that worked out. I think the health's worked out, but they got to figure out a deal.
You know, I'll tell you.
The mandating, like I said, I don't love it, but to me, the 50 games, I'm not going to worry about the legitimacy. The thing that I don't love about the 50 games is the players aren't compensated the way they should be at this point.
Right. I said this yesterday, that once the playoffs start, if the right teams are there, and I hate to say the right teams, but if the Yankees are playing the Twins or playing the Astros in the ALCS, teams that we viewed as good before the season, I think it'll feel normal. It'll feel like, okay, this is the ALCS, and you'll forget about the 50-game season. And the other thing, and you just kind of hit on it, I also get the sense, whether it's a 50-game season or an 80-game season, most of the regular season is not going to feel real in terms of starting pitchers going very short into a game and just the game being played differently, it's almost not going to feel real, John, until the playoffs. Because I assume then in the playoffs, a guy like Garrett Cole will throw 115 pitches and go try to win. I don't know about the first couple of months of this regular season where pitchers are probably going to be treated very carefully, and I understand why. Because they're coming back from a second spring training that probably lasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, we have 3 rounds of playoffs. I'm with you. That'll be the key, and that'll make everybody feel better about it. You'll have to run through quite a gauntlet. We're not going to have a team with a losing record any kind of a losing team win the World Series. I don't see that as likely. Obviously, in 2006, an 83-win team, the Cardinals made it through. Nobody looks at them as illegitimate, though I do keep bringing it up. I mean, it was an outlier. But I run with the 3 rounds of the playoffs. The one problem, though, is if they mandate the 50 games, I've heard from different players that they won't be so thrilled about that extra round of playoffs. Then the owner side says, well, that's cutting off your nose to spite your face because that's taking money away from MLB, and they won't be so enthusiastic about the free agency then, and, you know, it'll just be a fight at that point.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very complicated situation. It's not doesn't feel great at the moment, but I'll still be shocked if there's not a season. And I've heard from a couple people who are close to the situation, and my assumption is that it's because Rob Manfred can mandate things. They feel that there will be baseball this year.
When does this get decided, though? Because if they're still not close to making a deal,
they need to set a real
deadline. What is it?
A soft deadline is worthless. You know, it's nice to say we have a soft deadline of June 1st, but I mean, nobody.
What's the real deadline then? What does it have to be?
I would say the 10th might be I'm being kind and giving them extra room there, but it probably should be before the 10th. So that wouldn't be very many days from now. But you saw how they treated the soft deadline of June 1st. The players came back with a counterproposal that moved in the wrong direction the day before. That doesn't leave much room for the soft deadline to happen. I'm with the players on a lot of things, but the 114 games, I think that's pie in the sky. I know a lot of people think it's possible and it's fine and they'll play into November, but I still think that the second wave is an issue. I don't think that's just a negotiating ploy. I do believe that, you know, and I understand why the players don't believe everything the owners say, but I think let's be safe about that. I do agree with them, though, that they deserve to get more than 31% of their pay. Whether it's 50% as it was going to be with the prorated 82, it may not be, but I understand why they'd be upset if they don't get it, but they should be close to that. I do think that's fair, and the owners, they're going to lose money this year. There's no two ways about it.
Do you think that's the way it goes.
They've made money in the last several years, so
yeah.
I think that they have to just understand they're going to lose some significant money.
Do you think Jacob DeGrom is going to win the Cy Young with a 2-5 record and a 2.05
2
ERA?
5 record. How about an 0-5 record? I was one of the ones who voted for King Felix to win when it was the 11-10 or something.
But John, think about it. If let's say they pull this off with 50 games, you're talking about a starting pitcher making 9 or 10 starts.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. So are we going to hand out a Cy Young?
Sure.
I'd assume, by the way, like this is the way my brain works. The Cy Young Award winner from a 50-game season is going to be a reliever. That would be the first thing that jumps into my mind. It's going to be the guy who pitches more frequently. He's going to have more of an impact. But that's the kind of stuff that I think as a baseball fan you start to think about when you hear 50 games. You think about the records. You think about a guy hitting 400. You think about Cy Youngs and MVPs. You think about teams making the playoffs when they should. There are so many weird things that would make 1981 look completely normal.
Yeah, 10 starts, and also the first 2 or 3 starts would be fewer than 5 innings, probably.
Yeah, how many innings are you pitching?
We could have a 400 hitter. We could have our first 400 hitter since Ted Williams.
It's not going to be real, though.
Well, if someone's going to qualify for a batting title,
it's not going to be real, though. Come on.
All right, it's not real, but it might happen. It might happen.
That's why baseball is so about numbers and history and tradition. They have got to find a way to get to 82. And I've thought this from the beginning. When someone called up back in late March and said, what's the minimum amount of games you guys would want? And I remember Joe was more about 100, and I was more, you got to get to half the season. If you get to half the season, I feel like, all right, you got something. 50 is, yes, it's better than nothing. And I think we'd all agree it's better than nothing, but it creates so many issues that, man, they got to find a way to get a deal done, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was with you. I can recall being part of some of those conversations, and I said half. But at this point, I'm desperate. We're desperate to get baseball on. So I'm more accepting of fewer than 80. I don't love 50, but as I told you, it's more about the fairness of the pay than the legitimacy of the season. I do see what you're saying. Half would be fantastic. If they could figure out half, and I think the players, they have not offered it. They've won 114 games.
Right.
Prorated, but I think the players would do the 82 at prorated.
That's what it should be. Honestly, if I'm being an arbitrator, that's the deal. 82 games,
well,
prorated,
you know,
let's go.
Another idea, and I have not heard this. I've asked several people, send it to an arbitrator and figure it out. And maybe they come up with that. Maybe they come up with some kind of little bit of a pay cut, not the drastic 40% that the owners offered in their first offer, but something like that would be fantastic for everybody. If 82 and prorated or close to prorated,
right,
let's say a 20% cut instead of 40%, and although I run that by a couple players, they didn't love that. They're of a mind they should get the prorated because the prorated was mentioned in the deal, and that's kind of what they thought they were going to get. But you have to read the fine print of the agreement to know that it really was not in concrete. That said, I think, with all that's gone on, I think there's a lot of sympathy with the players at this point. It's kind of gone back and forth a little bit. The MLB does a great job with the public relations, but, I think there are a lot of people now who are saying the owners are very rich people. They've done very well over the last several years. Their deals have been really good for them, and this is going to be one year where they're going to have to take it on the chin. I feel that there are a lot of people feeling that.
John, hopefully next week when Joe is back and we're talking next Thursday, we're previewing a baseball season.
I absolutely hope so. And I did want to comment on all that Yankee angst I was hearing before. I didn't feel quite as sorry for them as I did for Joe Beningo with the Beningo bracket of pain, since he's had 16 years of suffering versus
It's a little different.
Ernie and JJ, they've had 25 years of mostly happiness and had to pick and choose a couple of defeats. I will say this, having been in all these games, and I don't remember them as well as they do, but I was covering all of them. The 2001, Game 7, where Mariano did not hold the lead, that was the devastating loss for the Yankees because they had Mariano and they had the lead and they thought it was theirs. And it was, I don't want to say like a morgue in there, that's a cliche, whatever. It was something else in that clubhouse. They were in shock. I mean, they had won several before.
Yeah,
that.
They had won three straight championships.
Right,
going
that was still devastating.
No, I get it. I get it.
That was it.
I get it. Thank you, John. I appreciate it, man.
All right, good talking to you.
John Heyman, Mike Francesa agreed with you too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.